Amen. Amen. Let's jump off of John 3. And we'll read 16 and 17. Then we're going to go to 2 Kings 20. Are you at John 3? Let's read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. 2 Kings 20, first 8 verses, I'm in the King James Version. It says, In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord. Who said it? Who was about to speak? Okay. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, and this is Hezekiah now, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Why do you think Hezekiah went through those changes? What? He believed what he heard. He believed that what he heard from the Lord was going to happen. And he didn't want it to happen. So he proceeded to do something about it. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again, that means go back, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord. Interestingly enough, he said the same thing to him both times. He started out with Thus saith the Lord. The God of David, this time he gave me even more information. He said, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Now, Isaiah was not in the room when Hezekiah was going through this, and Hezekiah knew that. I will heal thee on the third day. Thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee out of this city, out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Now I got a question. God sent his word to Hezekiah, and it wasn't good news. All right, he was like, Get your house in order, make all your arrangements, you're going to die. Period. And Hezekiah believed it. He didn't ask for a sign. He didn't say, do something to show me that this is really God. He believed exactly what the prophet told him. And he immediately acted on it because it's not something that he wanted to happen. I mean, can you imagine? God sends a word to Hezekiah and says, you're going to die. And he says, oh, I need proof that it's you. It's like, you don't even have time to get your house in order now. Okay. But it... I get that in my head. I just can't stop laughing. But Hezekiah didn't want what he believed was true, so he prayed. He prayed. And he cried and he cried and he cried. He reminded God of everything he did. And the Bible says that before God's messenger got into the middle of the court, it's like he left the house, made a turn and was headed toward the gate. Before he even got to the middle, God said, turn around and go back. Tell the boy he's going to live. And that's what he said. He said, and I will add to that, not only are you going to live, I'm going to add unto you 15 years and deliver thee. Hezekiah didn't ask to be delivered. He just wanted to live. I could be in bondage, but I'm still alive. You know, he said, not only that, but he's going to save the whole city and defend it. Now, I would have thought that Hezekiah would have jumped up and started doing an Archie dance. You know I got to work in, brother, right? He would have started praising the Lord. He would have started jumping up and singing, you know, I've been healed, I've been delivered, I've been made free. Freedom, you know. But to my amazement, he didn't say that. He said, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me? And I'm thinking, why do you need a sign? The same voice that said you're going to die has now said you're going to live, but not just live, you're going to be free from bondage, you and this entire city. And he needs a sign. God, I need to make sure this is you. You didn't need to make sure it was God before you thought you were going to die. Okay? But now that you told you're going to live, now I have to make sure that it's God talking to me. Before I make a move to act like I'm healed, I have to make sure it's you, God, so give me a sign. See, I'm laughing because when the Holy Ghost spoke through Marie, now I understood why God is saying go this direction. Because too many of you are waiting because you need 657,283 confirmations. Before you think about getting up and doing what God told you to do. And God is letting you know you don't need a sign. You need to have faith. You need to have faith. So God, in his mercy, he gave Hezekiah a sign, and I almost fell out of my chair when I read that wasn't enough. Hezekiah was like, anybody could do that. But God gave him a word and a sign, and it still wasn't good enough. Yet he didn't need any of that to believe the bad news. Newsflash. All right. This is one of those aha moments. Too many of us do the same thing. We'll believe the quote-unquote evil report. We don't ask for a sign. We don't even ask sometimes for a second opinion. Okay. We just take what is told us and we think we're going to have what's been predicted. And when we're told that God has already said thus and so, we want a sign. How do we know it's God? How did you know that was the devil? Nobody has ever, that I know of, has ever asked the devil for a sign. You're going to die. That's you, devil? Yeah. Give me a sign. Okay. Before I can believe that report you just gave me, you have to give me a sign so I know it's you. Okay. No, we don't do that. We grab hold of it, and we run with it. We'll fly into the church. We want three people to pray with us and two others to be wailing in the corner and all these things we want to happen because we believe what we heard. And I'm saying to you, we need to believe what God has said, period, and stop asking him to confirm it. There's a place for confirmation, and I'm going to show you that before we leave here tonight. But I have to ask the question, why isn't the word of God enough for us to act? Especially since we're believers. I mean, look at Hebrews 11. I'm just going to read the first verse. Let me know when you're there. So I want you all to see this. Are you there? Okay, follow along. Now, signs are the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What? Oh, it's not signs? Oh. Pasquin said, I beg your pardon. Okay. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is? Faith, not signs. Okay. Romans 1:16 does not say, for I am ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's not the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, as it's written, the just shall live by signs. That's not what it says. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in the power of the gospel of Christ is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Tell your neighbor, not by signs. Okay? All right. Tell your other neighbor, ask your neighbor if he believes that. Okay? All right. You have to believe that you're just. How many of you believe you're just? Okay. So that means everything we do is done by faith. Everything. Now it says the just shall live. So I looked up what live means in that scripture. And according to the Concordance, it means to live, breathe, be among the living, not lifeless, not dead. It means the manner of the living and acting. It means having vital power in itself and exerting the same upon your soul. Metaphorically, it means to be full of vigor, to be fresh and strong. And all of those things, breathing, all manner of living, all of that is done by faith, not by signs, by faith. How many of you walk around all day like this, looking to see if your chest is going in and out, to make sure you're breathing, okay? We don't look down at our feet, make sure that we're walking. We don't even check these things out before we get up in the morning. We just get up and go. Does anybody here lie in the bed and say, okay, God, give me a sign that this body is going to work before I get out of this bed, okay? Anybody do that? No, you just get up. Because God said, this is the day that he's made, and you're to rejoice and be glad in it. So you just get up and rejoice. God says, get up and pray. You don't say, is my body going to work? You know, do I have a voice? Give me a sign. Saying, Pastor, you're being silly. I know I am, but it's really a silly thing that we do. You know, we're talking about God. We're talking about being led by the Holy Ghost, the power of God. We're talking about listening to the one whom we said is our Lord, Jesus the Christ, and we're telling them before we do what they say, we need to see a sign. There's something wrong with that. And for us to become the people that God has said we're going to become, we're going to have to get past that and start operating based on what he said when he says it, period. Look at Luke 17. And I wasn't thrilled with the Holy Ghost when he gave me this scripture. I wasn't because of what it says. We're trying to get folks to understand you have to just out and out forgive, and this could suggest something contrary. But God told me that, and once I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to use it, of course, because you said so. But then he told me how to explain it. See, Jesus was speaking to his disciples before he gave them the new commandment. okay, love one another as I loved you was not a command at this time. So don't get stuck on, well, he said I don't have to forgive unless they repent. Okay? Say, Pastor, I'm not going to do that. What about the rest of you? Okay. No, this isn't your out scripture. Okay. But Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. The Message Bible says, be alert. If you see your friend going wrong, correct him. If he responds, forgive him. Even if it's personal against you and repeated 7 times through the day, and 7 times he says, I'm sorry, I won't do it again, forgive him. The apostles, his followers, came to him and said, Master, give us more faith. But the Master said, you don't need more faith. There is no more or less in faith. So either you have it or you don't. He said, if you have a bare kernel of faith, say the size of a poppy seed, you can say to the sycamore tree, go jump in a lake, and it would do it. See, the apostles were talking with Jesus. They were his disciples, and they knew who he was. Yet, when he gave them some instructions, they couldn't believe what he said unless he gave them some additional clue. And I'm thinking, why wouldn't they just believe him? These are his disciples. Now the apostles. And Jesus is telling them, this is what you do. And they're saying, you need to give me something else if you want me to do that. That's what he said. That's what they're saying. They didn't say, yes, sir, teacher, we got it. We'll do it. No problem. Bring the trespassers. Let's go. We're ready. They said, you need to increase our faith. Okay. And I'm wondering, how did they expect him to do it? If he said, okay, you got it, were they going to believe him? Because he used the same thing he would have been using the same thing to give him more faith as he did to tell him what to do, his word. So if you can believe, if you say to Jesus, I need more faith, and he says, here, you got it, then you should be able to believe him in the first place. Because it's the same thing, his word. It's the same thing. But really, if we're going to be honest, and I know we are, but what really happens is there are things that we may not really want to do. We may be a little skittish. We may have a little bit of doubt. And so there can be a delay in our obedience. We get holy. We get spiritual. God, give me a sign. I'll do it. I just need a confirmation just to make sure. Because I want to get this thing. I don't want to go off on the wrong way. You know, God, I can be too quick sometimes. And we figure we can just snow him into giving us a sign. Now, I'm not saying in his mercy and grace that he might not. I mean, that he might. But he said, the just shall live by faith. And so since we're the just, I'm just thinking that we ought to believe what God says. And the only way to show that we believe it is to do it. That's why Jesus told them, you don't need faith. You don't need more faith. There's no more or less in faith. If you have faith, you'll do what I say. If you don't have faith, you won't. It's really that simple. Because if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you'll act on what the Holy Ghost is prompting you to do. But they wanted some proof. And just like Hezekiah, they wanted some evidence that what Jesus was saying was true before they would act on it. They didn't understand that faith was all the evidence that you need. And I'm going to tell you something about signs. There is a need for signs. Signs have a purpose. Look at Matthew 12. In verse 38, I'm going to share this in a few translations. It says, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees, who was this? Okay, not believers. Right? Scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. I was like, ooh, that ain't me. Okay. And there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. The Amplified says, and some of the scribes and Pharisees said to him, Teacher, we desire to see a sign or miracle from you, proving that you are what you claim to be. See, that's when we're asking for a sign, that's what we're saying. God, I need proof that you are who you claim to be. But he, Jesus, replied to them, an evil and adulterous generation, a generation morally unfaithful to God, seeks and demands a sign. There isn't anybody in here that's morally unfaithful to God. So why do we need a sign? The Message Bible says, later a few religious scholars and Pharisees got on him. Teacher, we want to see your credentials. Give us some heart. See, that just made me think about something. You know, whenever we go to doctor, dentist, some professional person, you go in, they have this wall with all of their certificates on it. How many of you have asked proof to make sure they were real? You saw them, and a matter of fact, not only didn't you ask for proof, you got excited. Look at all those certificates. And if he has one of those magazines that say Best Doctor on there, now you're like, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. You send me only to the best. Okay. And we'll believe everything that we'll believe what they say. And we will just, by faith, believe that all of those credentials that we see hanging up there are true. He said, give us some hard evidence that God is in this. How about a miracle? Okay. And Jesus said, you're looking for proof, but you're looking for the wrong kind. All you want is something to titillate your curiosity, satisfy your lust for miracles. Yeah, I heard somebody go, ooh, that's what I said. Your lust. See, you just want to see the miraculous. And God wants us to be the miraculous. See, non-believers need a sign so they can become believers. But believers don't need a sign because we have faith. And if you have faith, that's all the evidence that we need. Mark 16, I'm getting to the purpose. In the Message Bible, Mark 16, still later, as the 11 were eating supper, he appeared and took them to task most severely for their stubborn unbelief, refusing to believe those who had seen him raised up. See, even though he told them he'd be raised up on the third day, and people came and said, we've seen him, they didn't believe. And so he took them to task for that. Then he said, go into all the world, go everywhere and announce the message of God's good news to one and all. Whoever believes and is baptized is saved. Whoever refuses to believe is damned. And these are some of the signs that will accompany believers. Okay, he said, these are some of the signs that would accompany believers. He didn't say, by these signs you shall lead believers. These signs accompany. Where believers go, the signs go. They will throw out demons in my name. They will speak with new tongues. They will take snakes in their hands. They will drink poison and not be hurt. They will lay hands on the sick and make them well. Then the Master Jesus, after briefing them, was taken up to heaven, and he sat down beside God in the place of honor, and the disciples went everywhere, preaching the Master working right with them, validating the message with indisputable evidence. The New Life Version. The followers went from there and preached everywhere. The Lord worked with them. The Lord showed that the word of God was true by the special works they had powers to do. See, the purpose of signs is to show the world that what God says is true. The purpose of signs is to show God that we are the church, founded on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. The signs are to show that that's who we are, period, so that other people will believe. The signs are not for us to get confirmation from God to be obedient to what he's told you to do. You're obedient to God because you have faith in his word, period. That should be all the evidence, just like the song said, that's all the evidence we need. That's all the evidence God expects. He said the just shall live by faith, period. And since we're the just, and since we have faith, we should be acting on everything that God tells us to do. It's that simple. 1 John 5:13 in the voice. Wow, this is early. I'm almost finished. John said, I'm writing all of this to you who have entrusted, this is the voice translation, I'm writing all of this to you who have entrusted your lives to the Son of God, so you will realize eternal life is already yours. We live in the bold confidence that God hears our voices when we ask for things that fit his plan. And if we have no doubt that he hears our voices, we can be assured that he moves in response to our call. I mean, think about something. If we believe he moves in response to our call, why won't we move in response to his call? Because we believe that the one calling us is him. It's really that simple. Jesus said, my sheep. How many of you are his sheep? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. So if we found ourselves caught up, coming to our senses and realizing we're following a stranger, then we have to understand that we had allowed ourselves to get too close, so that we became more familiar with the stranger's voice than we did with our Lord's. And really, in that situation, you're making the stranger your Lord, and you're following their voice. But Jesus said, make no doubt about it, my sheep hear my voice. So since we hear his voice, why do we need confirmation? Is it really you, Jesus? Who else is going to be? Not Casper. Jesus, I just need to know it's you. Who else is it going to be? It's not him. Well, Pastor, the devil will talk to you too. But you're not his sheep. And you should know it's the devil talking to you because you'd be too busy running in the other direction. Because Jesus said, the voice of a stranger, you'll run from. So you hear a voice over here that's not Jesus, you should be headed in that direction. Say, why? Because you don't hear the voice over there, so you know the stranger's not over there. But if you don't know how to hear his voice, you need to learn how to get quiet. Because too many times we're thinking audible voice. And most of the time it's not. It's an inward voice, an inward witness, where you just know. That's all. You just know. You'll hear something, you're like, not in this lifetime. No, that's Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I mean, that's just the way it is. I know if I were drunk, I'd know that wasn't God. I mean, that's the way our attitude needs to be. You know, and look, we speak and we act based on faith language, not sign language. And we need to understand that. We speak and act on faith language. And what's faith language? God speaks, we hear it, we obey it. It's really that simple. Everybody say, I'm not Hezekiah. Okay, I don't need special signs. As a matter of fact, I don't need any signs. Faith is all the evidence I need. I'm done. I'm finished. You know, who are signs for? That's right. That's right. And that's not you. Okay. You're not a wicked and adulterous generation. You're not unbelievers. You're children of the Most High God. You're members of the church. You're just. You live by faith. You operate by faith. You don't operate based on signs. You're the sign maker, not the sign's follower. We understand that. Father, we thank you for the word that you gave us tonight. We thank you, Lord, that it penetrates the hearts of the people and the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened and they will know. They will know who they are in Christ. They will know that as your sheep, they hear your voice and the voice of a stranger they will run from. They will know that if you tell them to move, they have everything they need to move. If you say stop, they stop. No more questions, no more doubt, no more requests for confirmation. We're going to move when you say move, Lord, and we're going to accomplish everything that you said we'll accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen.